Saul 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out with fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And one verse in John's Gospel, chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. See, the Lord has his blessing to the reading of his word. I'd like to call your attention to three cheers of the Lord Jesus tonight. In Matthew chapter 9, the good cheer of his pardon. In Matthew chapter 14, the good cheer of his presence. And in John chapter 16, the good cheer of his power. The good cheer of his pardon. I think it is a Christian's duty to be cheerful. One that knows his sin forgiven, and now something of the joy of the Lord in our hearts, it should shine out of our faces. We have a great deal more in our power in the regulation of our moods, our tempers, our dispositions, than we often are willing to acknowledge to ourselves. Also called low times, when we fret, we're dull, and all things seem wrapped in gloom, we are ready to sit down and bewail ourselves like Job on his dunghill. These are often the results of our own imperfect Christianity as a response to these our feeling to the external circumstances. And indeed, some of these circumstances we do get in. The world comes and says to us, be of good cheer. And they say it in vain. Often they seem to rub salt into the sore. But the Lord Jesus never tells people to cheer up without giving them a reason to cheer up. In this case, here we have the sick of the palsy, and he was brought to the Lord Jesus by four men that loved him. And of course, all they expected was that this man might be healed. But here, they hear the words of the Lord Jesus, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Well, I don't think they expected it. They expected man to be healed, not to hear his sins forgiven. But you know, there are some sicknesses of which the root is sin. And the Lord Jesus goes to the root of the matter, first forgiveness, and then the healing of his limit. The tear of his forgiveness. There is no greater cheer, no greater joy in any man's life but to know our sins forgiven. The good cheer of his pardon. How much there is in this one word, forgiven. You remember the story of the prodigal son who wasted all he had, and then in filth and dirty rags he made his way back to the father, to his home, and as the father saw him, the father ran, put his arms around him and kissed him. That's forgiveness. When the Lord Jesus, after being scourged, crowned with thorns, spat in his face, and finally nailed to the cross, his first utterance from the cross was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." A little boy was once asked, "What is forgiveness?" He said, "It is the odor that the flowers breathe when they are trampled upon." And isn't that where this blessed odor came from? Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was trampled upon. When our Lord forgives sins, when he said to this man, sick of the palsy, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." I wonder if the Lord has said it to you, dear friend. "Son or daughter, thy sins be forgiven thee." Sins out of reach. In Psalm 103, verse 12, we read, "As far as the east is from the west, so far have he removed our transgressions from us." A man asked an elderly Christian woman, "Does the devil ever trouble you about your past sins?" She says, "Yes." "What do you do about it?" "Oh," she says, "I send them to the east." "And does he come again after that?" She says, "Yes." "What do you do then?" "I'll send him to the west." "Does he come after that again? What do you do?" "Oh, men are just running between east and west." The cheer of his pardon, as far as the east is from the west, so far had he removed our transgression. But more than that, sins out of sight. In Micah 7, verse 19, and this is spoken of Israel, and we know the history of Israel, how terribly they sinned against their God. Here he says, "Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea." We are told that the average depth of the seas are 11,500 feet. But they have some deep, what they call, and there's one called the Nero Deep of the island of Guam in the Pacific Ocean. There they find a depth 31,614 feet. If Mount Everest were dropped into the Nero Deep, the water would cover yet for a half a mile. Ah, beloved, if God graciously, through Jesus Christ, grants us such forgiveness, we might as well experience the cheer, the joy of such wonderful forgiveness. As far as the east from the west, and buried in the deep of the sea, in the depths of the sea. And yet more, sins out of mind. It's hard for us to do that, I'm sure. But in Jeremiah 31, verse 34, the Lord says, I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now, wonderful? Just think about it a little bit for us. Even as Christians, maybe some of us have sinned quite seriously. And that troubles us. Satan brings it back to our remembrance. But the Lord says, I will remember them no more. The cheer of His forgiveness. Forgiven, forgotten, all cleansed in the blood, atoned for by Jesus in Calvary's blood, my sins are remembered no more. Are your sins forgiven? Have you taken your place beneath the cross of Christ? Confessed your sins? Do you know they are forgiven? In the same chapter, we read of the woman with the issue of blood that touched the hem of the garment of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus turned to her and he said, Daughter, be of good cheer, thy faith hath saved thee. This is it, beloved. By faith, you can know your sins forgiven tonight. Confess your sins to the Lord Jesus and ask Him to forgive your sins. By faith, you can be washed in the blood of the Lamb and be forgiven. The cheer of His pardon. And then the cheer of His presence in Matthew chapter 14. What a scene we have there, as we read. The Lord Jesus on the mountain alone praying. The disciples in a boat, getting darker, and a very rough sea. And then they see someone walking on the water towards them, and they are more afraid. And they cry out. And amidst all their trouble, they hear His voice. Be of good cheer, it is I. He came into the ship, and the wind ceased. You know, today, our life ship is surrounded by darkness through the spreading of the godless, evil communism over the world. The waves of cults are rising higher and higher about us, almost enough to take the footing from under our feet. But then we too can hear His voice. Be of good cheer. It is I. Oh, how His presence calms our soul in spite of evil days. In Psalm 23 we read, Though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Perfect company. Turn with me please to Isaiah chapter 23, or rather 43. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, they shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. The cheer of His presence. Turn to the 91st Psalm. Psalm 91. Verse 7, or what? Start with verse 4. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that feasted at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. And find another scripture in Acts, that we hear these words from the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 27. Verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sir, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as He told me. The good cheer of His presence. I will never, never, never leave thee, nor never thee forsake. In the darkest days of our time, we hear the message from heaven. In the last World War, there was a part from American battalion lost or got away and got surrounded by German soldiers. They had no ammunition left, and the water and their food supply got very low. Sometimes the Germans got there and asked them, Are you ready to surrender? But they had one cannon shot left. And they said, we'll take a chance and send this cannon shot up in the air as a sign to the Americans on the other side that we're still here. And so that night they shot the cannon straight up and sent up the fire. And next morning a plane came over. And he dropped food and water to these soldier and a message. And the message said, hold on, we're coming. And before nightfall that night, the Americans went through the German line and rescued these soldiers. In the midst of trouble and dark days, we hear the shout from heaven, hold on, I am coming. Oh, the cheer of his presence. And thirdly, the cheer of his power. John 16, verse 33. In the world, tribulation. In Christ, peace. Tribulation not only from the ungodly, as many suffer in the world today for the name of Christ, but I believe here it's used more in a general term. Distress of any kind, trials, troubles, in the world as well as from the world. In the world is to be in the place of testing, but in Christ, there is peace. In John 17, this wonderful prayer of our Lord, he prays for those that are in the world. John 17, in verse 11, he says, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one even as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. The influence of the world is powerful, but not all powerful. The world has been fought and it has overcome one greater than it, one mightier than the prince of the world has been here and vanquished it. The world did its utmost when they nailed the Prince of Heaven to the cross. But Christ came out victorious. Now in Hebrews 11, verse 7, we read of Noah, by building the ark, he condemned the world. But the Lord Jesus conquered it. He won the victory. And it was in a way of temptation, suffering, obedience that he fought and won. And all, beloved, is the same to every one of his own. Through temptation, suffering, and obedience, to fight the fight to win. Follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. Storms and trials, temptations should only drive us closer to our Lord Himself. The foundation of peace is our Savior's personal victory. As he speaks to the disciples, he did not yet win the conflict, but he anticipated it. And how this, beloved, should stimulate our hearts. The world is still essentially the same, but so is Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And even today, we can hear the voice from heaven, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Of course, on our part, there must be no surrender, no compromise, no fellowship with the world. Turn me, please, to 1 John. First John chapter 2, verse 15. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." And you remember the verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 2? "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And then in Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, Paul says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." I think that's a wonderful word. The cheer of his power. "I have overcome the world." The cross is the dividing line between the world and the believer. Today, generally in Christendom, we like to compromise. But in reality, and according to the Word of God, there is no compromise. And this only a little while, the conflict will cease. And the victory shall be gained. There's one of the words once more in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. It says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Hold on. I am coming. The day is far spent, the night is at hand. When Christ shall come with his reward for the overcomer. And oh, what a glorious time that will be. Will you turn with me to Revelation and read just these wonderful voices to the overcomer? Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. I just read part of the verses. It says, "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Good place to be. Overcomer. Verse 11. "He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Verse 17. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Verse 26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nation. Chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. In the same chapter, verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And the glories of all, verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And oh, beloved, we are more than conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we read of these wonderful rewards for the overcomers, with delight we shall cast our crowns to his feet and give to him all the praise and the glory and the honor, dominion and blessing. Him who conquered for us, him who conquered in us, and who made us more than conquerors. All because of his victory on the cross and over the tomb. His good cheer, the good cheer of his pardon, the good cheer of his presence, the good cheer of his power. I have overcome the world. Beloved, we are on the victory side. Soon our Lord will come. He is our victory. And for all overcomers, we shall reign with him in the glory to all eternity. Is it worthwhile to fight a good fight? And meanwhile, take to heart these wonderful cheers of our Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Our loving Father, we do thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee for these encouraging things we have considered this evening, the cheers of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how wonderful, how blessed that we with our own ears have heard the word of our Lord. Son or daughter, thy sins be forgiven thee. Oh Lord, if there's someone here tonight who is not sure of sins forgiven, oh, we pray thou wilt deal with such dear souls, that by faith they may look to thee, the Savior of sinners, confess their sins, and ask thee, Lord Jesus, to forgive and to cleanse. And we thank thee for the good cheer of thy presence. How often we can hear in the troublesome world, it is I. Oh, we thank thee. We thank thee, Lord Jesus. And for the cheer of thy power, for us, for me, thou, Lord Jesus, has overcome the world. And with thy presence and thy grace, we too shall be overcomers and share in thy victory in the glory of heaven. We thank you for thy word. Bless it to each heart. And as we separate, keep us in the hollow of thy hand, looking to thee for joy and cheer day by day in all our circumstances. May the joy of the Lord shine from our faces as a testimony to others. We thank you for being together. Again, bless thy word, we pray, in our Savior's precious name. Amen.